Open our Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Begin reading with verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of the Lord, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. This is a beautiful story that has many different applications. As I was thinking, that's one of the great things about the Bible that is unlike any other book that you read. You can take a passage and receive a different blessing from it every time you read it, because every time you read it, you'll see something that you had not seen before, or you'll see something from a different perspective, or even you'll see something different because the Holy Spirit makes a different application that fits your particular need at that particular moment. As I begin thinking about the phrase in verse 5, nevertheless, at thy word, I begin to think about some of the things that are involved in this phrase and some of the things that I believe are implied in that phrase. I read the context, and I begin to see some things from the context that at least encouraged me, and I hope will encourage you as well. I want to look at five things. First of all, I'll notice their fruitless efforts. Then I'll look at their giving up. Then we will look at the command that was given to them. Then we'll look at the obedience to that command. And then when those things are done, we will look at the results of their obedience. Now notice in verse 5, these men had labored and toiled all night long. Now, I don't know a whole lot about fishing other than what I've read and seen on TV. But deep sea fishing, especially back in their day, was very hard work. As I understand it, they had these great big, huge nets that could weigh itself. The nets could weigh a lot of pounds. And they didn't have the push button engine things that would raise them up and haul them in. So everything was done by hand. They would take the nets and cast them out. And then as the boat would move, they would fill up with fish, and then they would draw the nets back in. And they cast them out and brought them in. And cast them out and brought them in. Back and forth, in and out, hour after hour, working and sweating and working and working. And they caught nothing. Now these men had truly worked at it. They weren't lazy. That had been me about once or twice, and I'd have been ready to call it quits. But they were not lazy. They did this for a living. So they were strong. They were working hard. They were not goofing off. They were not playing around, but for all of their work, they didn't catch a single fish. They had taken nothing. Nothing. I thought how frustrating that must have been. You're a professional fisherman. You make your living fishing. You make your living hauling the nets in and out. And if you're not catching anything, you're not making any money. And every time, maybe this time we'll catch some fish. And yet time after time after time, they brought the nets up. And the nets were empty. How discouraging it must have been. I'll get to some things in a few seconds. But working and working and never seeing any results can be very, very discouraging. They were professionals, and for all of their knowledge, for all of their expertise, for all of their equipment, for all of their ships, for all of their hired hands, everything they had should have at least caught something. And yet they caught nothing. I thought about you and I. Does it ever seem to you that no matter how long we toil, we just aren't getting anywhere? No matter how hard we work, we just don't seem to get any results. Sometimes we've given it everything we've got. We've taken advantage of everything we know. We've labored and toiled every way that we can think of. And when we've run out of ideas and energy, we have absolutely nothing to show for it. Maybe you're in this group. You tithe. You give special offerings. And the more you try to serve God faithfully, it seems the more bills pile up. Now, don't raise your hand, but does anybody ever go through that? You know, I've given, we've tithed, we've given special offerings, and instead of God opening the windows of heaven and pouring us out blessings which we shall not be able to receive, instead of blessings, somehow things got mixed up, and instead of blessings, all we get is bills and bills and more bills. We pray and we pray and we pray, and yet it seems that our prayers go unheeded. We witness, we hand out tracts, we invite people, we preach the gospel, and yet no one gets saved. We attend church every service, every church function, every time the doors are opened, whether it be revival or prayer breakfast or anything else, every time there's a service, we're here. And yet for all of our labor, we still get nothing. We serve God with everything we've got. We serve God with every way that we can think of. And after we have done everything we can think of, we stand and say, you know, I really don't feel that I've accomplished anything. Don't raise your hand, but do you ever feel like that? You hand out hundreds of tracts and nobody that you invited even comes. You witness to people and no matter how much you witness, no one ever gets saved. I know you do, because sometimes I do. I've gone home before, and I'm going to tell you some inside things. I've gone home and asked Kathy, was I talking or was my mouth just moving and nothing coming out? But y'all are laughing. But sometimes, even preaching, you go home and you think, did I just waste 45 minutes? Did I just waste, let's see, 45 minutes for every person here? Do you know how many man hours that is? And sometimes you feel like, I think I could have read nursery rhymes and almost accomplished as much. Now, if I feel like that, I know you do. You come to church and you go home and you think, that was a waste of time. You don't have to say it. I know you do. You come to church and you sing and you pray and you listen and you go home and think, I got absolutely nothing out of that. We toiled. We labored. And yet we've got nothing to show for it. Notice, secondly, what they did. They gave up. Said, how do you know they gave up? Well, because the ships were standing in verse 2, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now, as long as you're fishing, you don't leave the ship. And if you're planning on going back to fishing real soon, you don't wash your nets, fold them, and stack them up somewhere. So when they left the ship and were washing their nets, getting ready to just put their nets up and leave the ship. It means they were not planning to fish again anytime soon. Maybe later, but for now, I'm through fishing. They were cleaning their nets, putting everything nice and neat, and putting it away to maybe be used on another day. We're not going to be needing the nets for a while. Let's just clean them up, leave the ship, put the nets up, and go home. As I said, they were probably frustrated. They were probably discouraged. And so after all night of giving it everything they've got, you know what? Let's just quit for a while. I thought about me and obviously about you. How many people have quit laboring for God because they just didn't feel like they were getting any results? Maybe they quit because they weren't getting any results. Maybe they quit because they're just plain tired. I remember when I was much younger, I can't do it now, but when I was much younger, I could go all night and go all day the next day and hardly notice it. But now my body gets tired much easier. Maybe you've worked and you've worked and you've visited and you've invited and you've studied and you've done everything you know to do, and your body is just tired, and you think, maybe it's time for me to quit and let someone else fish for a while. Maybe it was from circumstances. You know, there's just so many things going on. I just can't handle it. I can't deal with it. I can't take it. I can't handle it anymore. I quit. I'm not quitting church, but I'm just giving up on everything else. I've seen Sunday school teachers just get so discouraged. And I commented this morning in my class, boy, I don't have the patience to teach little children like you do. I don't have the patience. They can't look up and say, wow, I really enjoyed that lesson, Miss So-and-so. You teach and you teach, and all they care about is the lesson that you give them to take home, or the craft that you made in class. They don't even care if you teach the Bible. And over the years, I've known teachers say, you know what? I study every week. I study every week. I get no results. Nothing seems to happen. I quit. I give up. Let somebody else take the class. We feel useless. We feel like we're in the way. Had a preacher call me a few weeks ago. And after an extended conversation, I began to understand where he was coming from. He made a comment You know, I've been pastor of this church for, I think he said 20-something years, I think. And he said, maybe it's time they called a younger man. Now, I'm not sure how old, well, I do know how old he is, he told me. He's right in there with my age group. I think we're a few months apart. And he's thinking, you know, I've preached for 20-something years. I'm not seeing any results. Maybe it's time for me to quit and turn it over to a younger man. I feel like I'm standing in the way. Maybe someone else could do a better job teaching. Maybe someone else could do a better job in whatever it is I'm doing. And so, like Peter and the other fishermen, it's like, you know what? I'm going to take my nets. I'm going to wash them. I'm going to fold them up. I'm going to put my nets out of the way. And somebody else can take the ship and go fishing if they want to. I'm tired. We've had no results. I've missed a whole night's sleep. I'm going home. Do you ever feel like that? Yeah, I bet we do. We don't renounce Christianity. We still remain moral, honest, and upright. It's just that I have used my talents. I've used my talents. I've used my talents. And for all of the use of my talents, for all of my years of service, I really feel like I've wasted my time. I'll keep coming to church, but I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to do anything because you know what? I've done it for years. Now, some of you that haven't sung, you haven't even started fishing yet, but you'll get here. And so because we grow tired, maybe later on I'll fish again. But for right now, I'm just going to put my nets up. Leave the ship. Somebody else can take the ship. But they're going to do it without me for a while. Well, what did Jesus say in verse 3? Verse 4, I wrote it down wrong. Notice Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Now, in verse 3, we find out the command followed a time of resting and a time of study in God's Word. Notice in verse 3, he entered into a ship. And he sat down and he taught them. Sometimes when you're ready to quit, what you really need instead of quitting is just sit down for a while, listen to God speak through His Word. Listen to God's Word. If you need something to listen to, we can get you all the CDs you can listen to. If that's not enough, you can go to sermonsaudio.com and there are thousands upon thousands of some really good sermons on there. And sometimes when I'm ready to quit, that's when I really need to get in God's Word more than ever before. And so Jesus said, let's get off the shore. Let's sit down and let's study God's Word together. Whether you're the president or the pastor or a Sunday school teacher or the janitor or the custodian, sometimes your body demands that it's time to sit down and meditate. Now, I know we've discussed the Sabbath day before, but God did not give the Sabbath day on creation week, the seventh day of creation. God rested not because God was wore out and tired, but God rested to teach us that I created your body and you can only push your body so far, and then you better sit down and rest and meditate in God's Word. I personally find that when I wake up and I find myself discouraged and ready to quit, usually what I need to do, and if I can do this, it always picks me up, is to block out my calendar. I don't care what I've got scheduled, block off an hour or so and spend it reading the Bible, reading some good sermons, praying, talking to God. And when I take that time to just sit down and meditate on God's Word, it gives me the strength to keep going. But the command was, don't quit. Don't stop. Now, he didn't say, Peter, please. He didn't say, Peter, would you do this as a favor to me? But he said, launch out into the deep. This is an order. It's a command. It's not up to you to decide whether or not you want to obey. I, the Son of God, Jesus Christ in the flesh, I'm giving you an order. Do it again. Many times, we're like Peter. Lord, don't you know what we've already done? I mean, Lord, are you not aware of how hard we've already worked? For some reason, I thought of Memorial Day. One year, we had rain all the way. One year, it was so hot that by the time we got done, I think most of us were dehydrated and about ready to go to your house and eat and drink and soft drinks. Eat and just, whew, man, I'm exhausted. What did Jesus say? I know how hard you've worked. I know all the labor that you have put in. But I'm telling you, now is not the time to quit. Notice Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night. Now, Peter evidently thought that he was really telling God something here. Lord, I'm going to tell you something that even you don't know. We've worked and we've got nothing to show for it. Nevertheless, Peter's faith was weak. His faith was small. His faith was wavering. But it was faith. And though his faith was weak, he knew enough that when God commanded something, he had to carry it out. His faith was skeptical. His faith was probably minuscule, very tiny. But nevertheless, it was faith. No matter how weak, no matter how small, it was faith that said, nevertheless, because it's you, because you're Christ, I will do it just for you. And so he did it. The result was, in verse 6, they captured so many fish that their net began to break and their ship began to sink, and they had to call their companion ship, and it became full and it began to sink from the multitude of fishes that they caught. You know, sometimes we may say to ourselves, maybe even to one another, you know what? I think this is a waste of time. We've tried it. I talked to a preacher several years ago, and he was saying that, you know, our church hasn't had anybody even join. And he told me how many years it had been. No one had been saved. No one had joined. And he said, you know, I just don't know what to do anymore. I said, well, told him about our paper. Now, this was when we started it the first time many years ago. I explained to him about our paper, how we mail it out, And all the things that we do. And he said, we tried that 20 years ago and we didn't get any results. I said, okay, what about placing in a little sermon in the newspaper every week? I did that when I was pastoring in Indiana. We had a little article every week that was just a very, very short little sermon. I said, what about putting an article in the paper? He said, oh, we tried that years ago and we didn't get any results, so we quit. Well, what about we print you some tracts and you go door to door? We tried that years ago and we didn't get any results, and so we quit. You know what? I got news for you. We can't quit. Well, why not? We tried it and it didn't work. Doesn't matter if it works or not. Jesus said, do it again. Do it again. Lord, we've done it for 12 hours. Do it again. But Lord, we've already washed our nets and we've got them nice and clean. Now you want us to throw them back out there and get seaweed all over them. And we'll have to clean them again. Do it again. It doesn't matter God said, go. Whether we go through the newspaper, whether we go through the gospel light, whether we go through the radio, whether we go through the TV, whether we go through the internet, regardless of the results that we've seen or not seen in the past, God says, go. Go. And if we keep going, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Do you ever get weary in well-doing? I've helped people, and I've helped people, and I've helped people, and I've helped people, and I've been doing good things. And you know what? Not only am I not getting results, but nobody even cares. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, well, when is due season? When God's time comes due. Well, how long is that going to be when God gets due? It may be a week. It may be a month. It doesn't matter. If God tarries a day, a week, a month, a year, we are not to be weary in well-doing. Handing out tracts can be wearisome sometimes. But in due season, you got a 50-50 chance that we may reap. So far, there's only one person that caught that. Are the rest of you catching it, or are you just? In due season, there's a 50-50 chance that ye may reap. Ah, some of you, the lights are finally going off. In due season, we shall reap. If we faint not. Peter obeyed. His faith was little. Tried to argue with Jesus. Tried to explain to Jesus why it wouldn't work. But when he, by faith, said, nevertheless, I think it's a waste of time. I think it's a waste of energy. I think it's a waste of resources. But if you say do it, I'll do it. And when he obeyed, God gave him far more than he could ever comprehend. Maybe you've been witnessing to somebody at work, in your community, and you've witnessed to them, and you've witnessed to them, and you think, I am wasting my time. Well, as long as they're breathing and are conscious, you keep witnessing, even if they don't get saved, you'll still reap. You'll reap the rewards of God saying, well done. Not well thought, not well planned, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we come. Lord, I know from experience that these old bodies do get tired. And sometimes our mind plays tricks on us. And Satan can convince us that something that is totally false is true. He's